This evening, after our lesson this morning, I think it's very fitting that I follow after Brother Zane. I think it's very fitting. The lesson this morning was about being prepared, and this lesson even it kind of goes along with me. I thought at one time I might stand up here like this and try to talk to you and see if you got the hint. But I won't. Zane had an excellent topic about being prepared. And I think a lot of that goes with youth. As you get older, just things change. So let's read a few verses here. In Matthew 11 and 28, starting, "Come into me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy as my burden is light." We all know, we all love this verse, and we all believe it's true. We know there is rest coming. But what I wanted to think about is some reasons why are we tired. Why are you tired? And here's just a few things I thought of. One is disappointments. And, you know, I could go on a long time about disappointments. Wasn't long ago, I make a trip to Walmart. I'm going to buy a new laptop. I get up there. I want this laptop. And the young people can't get the key to work, to unlock it. So we stand. I said, "I've got a cutting torch." "No, we don't use a cutting torch." But we finally get this thing unlocked, and they said, "We don't have the one you want." I said, "Okay." So they scan it. "We have two." I said, "I just want one." They never did find it. And I said, "Okay, is this other one a touch screen? You touch the screen?" "Yes, I'll take it." So I go pay, and the time I get home, it's late, and we go to trying to get it to work, and it don't work. So we call customer support, and I don't speak real good Chinese. So we go through a lot of this, and then the next morning I call again. They says, "Sir, you don't have a touch screen." I said, "Ma'am, I bought a touch screen." "Sir, you don't have a touch screen." I says, "Fine, I'll take it back." So I'll go back to Walmart. They said, "Oh, you've opened your computer, your laptop. We can't sell it again because you opened it." I says, "Ma'am, I bought a touchscreen. This isn't. It's your problem." So I got my money back. That was a disappointment, and it's in its minor, but all of us have this kind of stuff that happened from day to day. We labor to get things, and we're just, you know, we just think it'd be great. We're going to work hard. We're going to have this thing. Years ago, we bought a boat. We wanted a boat. We got a boat. That boat was allergic to water, I promise. You take that boat and you hook the hose up to it at home, run good. You put it in the water, and if you got to have a son-in-law like Joe Willingham, because he jumps in the water, puts a rope in his teeth, and he can swim and pull it back to shore. I mean, I was not satisfied with the boat. I sold it to one of her brethren in Stratford, Oklahoma, and I said, "It won't work in the water, I'm telling you." And I called him, Brother Jimmy Gerald, and I said, "How's the boat?" He says, "I'm going to keep it. I've got so much money in it, I can't bring it back." So I sold the boat. Then the other thing is things absolutely just wear out. Becky and I were sitting at the table one day, and she says, "I can see through the door." "No, you can't see through the door." "I get to look, and you can see through the door. Termites have eaten a hole through the door. Paint is all that's over the hole." So I called my Orkin people, and they said, "Well, we'll have to come check it." I said, "We'll come check it." They came and checked and said, "You no longer have repairs." I said, "Well, whose fault is that?" And they said, "Well, you changed." I said, "You made me change." Well, we can't do nothing about it. So here comes the next person. Drove from Amarillo to look at it. And he says, yep, you've got a hole in it. I said, well, I knew that. That's where they got it all taped up. We don't have authority to do that. I said, who has authority to help with this problem? Finally, the top dog shows up. And this lady says, you no longer have replacement on your termite contract. I know I don't. But whose fault is it? Because y'all have been checking my house for the last 20, 30 years, and termites have ate through my door. Whose fault is that? Is it my fault? Well, no. Who should have caught it? Well, we should have. Finally, the lady says, what do you want? I said, I want it paid to be fixed. Well, we can't do that. I said, I understand. And that's a long story. They finally sent me a check, and I had to sign off that they'd never fix anything else. Anyway, you get tired of going through all of this stuff, and I guess that's just part of it. In Luke 12, and starting verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I'm just like that. I worry about the hole in the door. I worry about the laptop. And that just makes you tired, worrying about all of those things. We shouldn't have to worry about that. We're not worrying about the correct things, is what I'm saying. Why are we tired? But godliness with contentment is great gain, and for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If the electricity goes off, Mom Dukes is going to be a certain that I'm going to call. I'm going to call the electric company because my air conditioner don't work. I might get hot and sweat. My food in the deep freeze might thaw. I can't get on the internet. Most of my phones don't work. It's emergency, the electricity went off. You see what I'm saying? I'm supposed to be content with food and raiment. It don't mention air conditioning, internet, air conditioning and laptops, and all of this. It don't mention none of that. I'm not content. And most of us are not. It's an emergency when we don't have lights. Why are we tired? There's several things that we come up with here, and one is just broken relationships. You know, we know that homes are broken because of different things. We have friends that's no longer friends anymore. We have loved ones that we don't communicate with. Not too long ago, there's a couple at our house, and they're telling how they had sent presents to their grandchildren through the years, and the presents was always sent back at Christmas and birthdays. I think that certain granddaughter is married and have children. I think of this. I thought, how sad is that to not to have a relationship with your grandchildren? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let's think about sickness. You know, I look out here in the audience and I'd mess it up, but a lot of people here are fighting different things, certain degrees of sickness. All I can say is when I don't feel good, I'm grumpy. Certain medicines make you feel bad. As a matter of fact, I quit taking one for arthritis because I just really didn't feel good when I took it. What about a broken relationship because of death? That's pretty permanent, isn't it? Not too long ago, we took Super 8 movies and we had them sent off and had CDs being made. So we're playing some of these. Well, here's Sean when he was little, like these little boys. He was fighting with his granddad, Joe Dukes. He had boxing gloves. He got them for birthday, Christmas, whatever. Well, a little bit, he knocks Joe out. He's down. He's out. Christy runs and gets the boxing glove, puts it on. She's fighting Sean like this. He's running, fighting backwards. And that might be the best way to fight. I don't know. But, you know, I sat there and I thought, you know, our grandchildren had never seen Joe Dukes fighting. Some of you hadn't either. But that makes you tired when you're separated from people. And that's just part of the way it is. And we just have to, not really about why we're tired, is trying to get through it. Why are we tired? Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Zane talked about this a little bit today, and I hardly ever do. I notice commercials, but there's one I did. And I don't remember what it was advertising, some medicine, I'm sure. But this guy gets him a little note, and he opens it and says, "Your heart attack is tomorrow." Have anybody seen that? Your heart attack is tomorrow. What if you get an email, a text, or a whatever? You die tomorrow. If I got that, I don't need to worry about the electricity, the laptop, food, appointments. And it may happen, at least like we said today, it may happen. We know it's coming. It's just not going to happen to me right away, right? One of my friends said, "Always look at the obituaries. If my name's not in it, I got to go to work, you know." It's coming. Anyone that says it's not is just fooling themselves. Nothing is more tiring than sin. When you have sin in your life. Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We have finished track season. I had the state track meet recently. You know, we've had people here involved with running track. Logan, Cheyenne, I saw a deal on somebody's phone of Breely running a race. She outrun everybody. Coach Dukes, what would you do if one of your track stars come to the track meet to go to run the hurdles or high jump with their cowboy boots on? You're not going to do very good because you're carrying extra weight. A track shoe is light. It's got spikes on it. It really gives you grip. But if you're up here carrying an extra weight, you're not going to do well. You're really not. Yet here we are as Christians carrying excess baggage trying to run our Christian life. You got this big backpack on just weighting you down, and it makes you tired. And we all of us do it with some extent. Nothing is more tiring than sin. Where's Brandon at? See that line? I borrowed that from Brandon. "Give the devil a ride, and before long he'll want to drive. You give him an inch, he'll want a mile. You give him a mile, he's going to want 100 miles. You give him 100 a mile, he's going to want it all. You let him in, he is going to take control. That will make you tired. He is there all the time, wanting in. He knows your weak spot. He's going to keep hammering at you. Give me just a little bit. Just a little bit." When sin is in us, it hardens us. It wears us out. You know, when I was a young man,
if I'd have seen a couple of gay guys together, you know, I probably would have got sick at my stomach. I might have pointed and laughed. I don't know what I'd have done. You just didn't hear of it, you didn't see it. But today, it is coming. Gay rights is here. We're going to have same-sex marriage in this state. It's coming. It's going to happen. We get hardened to that. You say, well, I can't do nothing about it. Sin wears you out. It wears out the body. Some of its effects do that. You have certain diseases from it. It just wears you out. The effects of sin goes on for a long, long time. If your family is dysfunctional with sin and all kinds of stuff, your children are going to learn that. They're going to see how that works. They're going to go out and start a family. Their children are going to see that. Their children's children are going to see that. And then their children's children's children is going to see that. And it's a big ripple. Remember Pat Manning's story about the father that goes to the cemetery? He cries at the grave of his two sons. He lived a sinful life. He taught his sons a sinful life. He obeyed the gospel, but it was too late to save the sons. Every child here wants to be just like mama and daddy at one point in life. They want to cook like mama. They want to be as strong as daddy. They want to be just like everyone. That wave is a tidal wave going out through the ocean. Romans 7:18-19. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to dwell in the present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That probably explains me pretty well. I don't think I get up any morning, so I don't think I'm going to go out and sin today. I think, you know what, I'm going to really be better today. I'm really going to be able to do the things that I want to do. I'm going to be good today. Then before you know it, here's the devil sneaking in. He wants a ride just a little ways. He'll do it every day. He'll keep coming after you, keep trying to get you. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It's what comes out of you. It's what you do that dictates what you are. You can hold up a sign that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But if your actions profess other things, it's your actions, it's your works. That is who you are. And if you're in sin, the effects of sin and the results of sin is death, just like Zane talked about this morning. You have a place of torment prepared for you. You have earned it. If you're doing obedience to righteousness, you've earned a place in heaven. That's what it amounts to. Jesus offers rest. We're back to that first verse again. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God offers rest. Remember when you was in school and you came home and everything had went bad, you got in trouble or whatever? you know, mom and dad would maybe listen to you and help you and say, you know, it's going to be okay. It's not a big deal. It's going to be all right. Maybe as you're older and you're at work and everything goes wrong and you come home and your husband or wife says, you know, it's all right. It's going to be fine. They'll comfort you. They'll help you. Well, I promise you, Jesus understands. He understands disappointments. He understands sickness. He understands broken relationships. Think about Jesus. Every one of the disciples departed from him. Peter denied him 3 times. I mean, even God forsook him. I mean, he understands these things. But Jesus can fix the problems, the effects that we have in sin. Jesus can do that. He has a remedy for it. He can get us through it. He will give us a rest that meets our deepest needs. I think as during a gospel meeting, we've been running pretty hard, visiting people, going places. I've been worried about something I didn't need to worry about. And finally, one night, I slept 6 or 7 hours. Just solid. And I woke up, and I think I told Becky, I said, man, I need a nap. I got a little rest. I needed more. I mean, whew. I was pooped. But the rest that Jesus offers gives us a rest that we've really not ever had. When you get that home in heaven, that is a rest that you have never had. You're going to be refreshed. I was talking about the Super 8 movies. Well, we found one of Sean getting a birthday present. I nearly called him Zane. Sean getting a birthday present. And he pulls it out and it says Flash. He was speedy in his younger days. We're all going to be speedy when we get in heaven. We're going to have a new body. Everything's going to work good. There's not going to be no aches and pain, no tears. Luke 11th chapter, starting in verse 11. If the Son of Man asks bread of any of you, that is the Father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hey, little boys, what if you ask mom and daddy for some bread? They give you a rock to chew on. How would that be? You don't have a very good mom or daddy, do you? That just shows us our Heavenly Father, if we'll ask Him and look to Him, everything's going to be taken care of. He'll watch over us. He'll make it right. The rest that God offers is conditional. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. Take that yoke on you and learn of me. That's a condition. To learn. It didn't say you had to leave a tall mountain and a single mound. You didn't have to do a lot of things. You have to learn. That is the one condition to get rest, is to learn. Let's talk about a yoke. When I grew up across the road from where we lived, where Janet and I grew up, Uncle Ern Zeebach had a team, a mule and horses. He farmed with that team. Those teams, he put yokes on the horses around their necks, and they pulled his sickle, he pulled his plow, he pulled his wagon. He went out and headed Capricorn by hand. And he took care of the horses. Uncle Ern was in the cavalry when he was in the army. He knew how to take care of horses. If you had a yoke that made the horse's neck sore, you couldn't use the horse. You was out of business. So a yoke is what we're compared to on Christ. A yoke helps pull a heavy load. And our Christian load that we have to bear is light because Jesus is under that yoke. He's cushioning it. The load is lighter. The yoke gives us a clear way. Also on these team of horses that Uncle Arn had, he had blinders. That was on the bridle, and it goes like this. The horses couldn't look to the side. They looked straight ahead. They knew where they was going, but had no distractions. And I think we need blinders to keep us looking at heaven, going straight ahead with no distractions. This yoke, and you can tell, I've never seen a yoke this nice. We found it on the internet. Will give you comfort and rest to pull a heavy load. You know, as you get older, you want comfortable shoes. And, you know, you try on a pair of shoes that have memory foam in them, and you're just walking on a cloud. That's kind of way I imagine having this yoke. And that's what God says. Take His yoke upon you. He's going to make it easy. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The conditions. Study. Know what God wants us to do. And then we'll have the rest. The world that we live in is temporary. I don't expect it to end before I end, so we're temporary. Death is coming. We don't know when. I hadn't got my little notice when it is. Galatians 6 and 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you go out and plant a tomato plant, you expect tomatoes. If you go out and plant okra, you expect okra. If you go out and plant things of sin, you're going to get corruption. If you're working for the Lord, you're going to have life everlasting. That's the bottom line. Two choices. Not an in-between. As you get ready to sing the invitation song, where is your yoke? Do you have it on? Have you laid it down? Have you cast it aside? Think about it. If you're not wearing the yoke of Christ, a place of destruction waits. It's your choice. Just like Zane said today, you have now, you don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow you may get the little notice, you die. You have now. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. Get your yoke on. If you obeyed the gospel and you took it off, hell waits.